With us on the phone, Bruce Katz. Bruce is the co-president of PAJU, which stands for Palestinian and Jewish Unity. Now, Bruce was recently present at a press conference that took place in Ottawa. And this press conference was given by Martine Ouellette, who is the current leader of the Bloc Québécois, and also by Mario Beaulieu, who is the former leader of the Bloc Québécois as well. And with them, there was representative of different Palestine solidarity groups. Among them is PAJU, and Bruce was there to represent PAJU in that press conference. So the press conference was about a new motion that the Bloc Québécois presented to the Canadian Parliament. And so with Bruce, we're going to talk more about what is this motion about, how did it start, and why did they feel the need to also support it as a group, as a Palestine solidarity group. So to start with, thank you, Bruce, very much for talking to us.
Thank you for the invitation.
So as I mentioned, the current leader of the Bloc Québécois, Martine Ouellette, and the former leader, Mario Beaulieu, they presented this motion calling on the Canadian Parliament to recognize Palestine as an independent state. So tell us more about this motion. What is this motion is about? What is the idea behind it in more details?
Okay, well, let me first mention that this is something that has developed, I think, over a period of time. I think it's a greater consciousness on the part of a number of members of Parliament, in particular members of Parliament representing the Bloc Québécois. But for example, when we had held a press conference in 2014 to denounce the attack by Israel on Gaza, Mario Beaulieu attended a press conference in support of Palestinians in Gaza and to denounce the attack. So this isn't his understanding of the Palestinian question is something that goes back some time. It's not something that has just come about overnight, and I think it's important to mention that fact. So I think that this is a situation that's the situation of the Palestinians is something that has been discussed over time now within the ranks of the Bloc Québécois. And I know for a fact that despite reticence on the part of leaders like Justin Trudeau and even Thomas Mulcair, who was staunchly pro-Israel and in the past has expressed anti-Palestinian attitudes. But within their ranks, there are growing numbers of members of Parliament who are uneasy with the positions that have been taken by their leaders, and that's both for Liberals and New Democrats. So this is something that we had spoken to a number of MPs, and we were aware that the Bloc was proposing to present a motion at some time in the spring. I think that maybe what I could do is just to give you the text, which is a brief text of the motion that was deposited with the House of Commons by Mario Beaulieu, because the motion itself was drawn up by Mario Beaulieu and obviously in discussions with other members of the Bloc Québécois, and Martine Ouellette, the leader, was present at the press conference. But this is a motion that was presented by Mario Beaulieu, who is the MP for Pointe-de-l'Île here in the island of Montreal. So it's moved by the Member of Parliament for Pointe-de-l'Île, May 29, 2017. Let me read it to you. It states the following: considering that the continuing colonization of the Palestinian territories occupied since June 1967 contravenes United Nations Security Council Resolutions 242, adopted in 1967, Resolution 338, adopted in 1973, and Resolution 2334, adopted in 2016, and jeopardizes the viability of the two-state solution based on the 1967 borders, considering that the establishment of a democratic Palestinian state and peaceful coexistence with its Israeli neighbor was to arise from the Oslo Accords in 1993 in the name of the inalienable right of peoples to self-determination, considering that the Palestinian state is currently recognized by 136 states representing 70.5% of the 193 members of the United Nations, such as the Vatican, India, and Sweden, considering that, in principle, Canadian foreign policy recognizes the right of the Palestinians to self-determination and supports the establishment of a sovereign, independent, viable, democratic, and self-governing state of Palestine in the framework of a comprehensive, just, and lasting peace settlement, it is proposed that, in the opinion of the House, the government recognize Palestine as an independent state. That's the motion that was deposited in with the House of Commons by the Bloc Québécois.
And so after they presented this, they did a press conference. And during that press conference, what happened?
Well, there were a few journalists that were present. And, of course, one of the journalists, I think, was a journalist from Le Devoir, asked him the question. I suppose it's a question that begged asking. The question was to the effect that Israel continually refuses to recognize the Palestinian state and has refused over decades. So why do you think that this motion can change things? I thought that they answered very well. I think they stood their ground as well, both Martine Ouellette and Mario Beaulieu, in the sense that to the effect that states have to function under the framework of international law. And they pointed to the fact that Israel has consistently refused to obey more than 100 UN resolutions concerning the Palestinian question, Palestinian human rights. And they also went on to state the fact that Gaza under blockade represents a collective punishment, which is a crime under international law. So I thought that their statement was really very strong, very coherent. And I was really quite pleased with the way they defended their motion in front of the press that was there.
And why did you, as PAJU, also CJPME, why, I guess you're talking in the name of PAJU, why did you feel maybe the need to go and support that motion, and why was it important?
Well, why it's important, I think, is that when members of parliament have the courage to actually state outright that the situation in the Middle East concerning the Palestinians and their legitimate claims to independence and self-determination, when members of parliament show the courage to stand up and actually say that, it is incumbent upon pro-Palestinian groups to support them publicly, in a concerted way, and to be there on the spot to show the press and other MPs that there are groups representing civil society who are prepared to step forward and make it known that they support just such a motion. It's a signal to other members of parliament in other parties that there are changes on the ground, and you can deny, you know, the leaders, certain leaders, I shouldn't say all, certain leaders can deny and deny and deny and play the ostrich and stick their heads in the ground pretending that nothing is changing, but it is changing. And the strength of the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement is proof of the fact that there are changes coming on the ground, and that means that they will translate into changes at the political level, mm-hmm. in the same way that that they did concerning apartheid in South Africa. In a previous interview with you, I mentioned the fact that at the outset of the campaign for the BDS campaign against South African apartheid, there were virtually no politicians in this country who were prepared to stand up and actually support it. And that included Brian Mulroney, who was prime minister at the time. He changed his tune when he saw the groundswell of support in virtually every country of the earth in support of the BDS movement against South Africa and against South African apartheid. And he jumped on the bandwagon, which is what most politicians do, because basically a good many of them are simply opportunists, and they'll go in whichever way the wind is blowing, you know. Well, the wind is starting to blow in the direction of the Palestinians, and I think we are at a point where the BDS movement is irreversible. The BDS movement against Israeli apartheid is irreversible, and the politicians are going to have to deal with that change in reality.
It's interesting that you mentioned that the kind of politician follow kind of how the wind is blowing and the opportunist kind of nature of certain politicians. You mentioned that Mario Beaulieu was supported kind of the Palestine Solidarity Movement, especially in 2014 when Israel was attacking Gaza. And I remember he was present. We saw him when we were covering in the protest that was in Solidarity in Gaza. We did see him in the protest and we interviewed him. And before I ask you the question, I'm going to play the interview. It's 2-3 minutes. And then Catherine, who is my co-host on the show, interviewed him. And then we will be back. I want to ask you about a certain criticism that a couple of Palestine Solidarity activists presented or made against the presence of the Bloc Québécois at the protest. So first I'm going to play the interview just to hear what Mario Beaulieu had to say. And then I'm going to ask you about the reaction or maybe the criticism that a couple of activists I talked to had about the presence of Mario Beaulieu in the protest.
Bon, ben merci beaucoup d'être venu avec nous. Est-ce que vous pouvez vous présenter, s'il vous plaît?
Mario Beaulieu, chef du Bloc québécois. C'est moi qui vous remercie de m'inviter à m'exprimer.
Et pourquoi est-ce que vous êtes présente aujourd'hui à cette manifestation pour la Palestine à Montréal?
Parce que en ce moment, il y a un drame humain innommable qui se produit. Il y a 2000 morts, dont la plupart sont des gens de la société civile. Des milliers de blessés. Et pendant ce temps-là, le gouvernement canadien adopte des positions sans aucune nuance. Moi, je pense qu'il faut dénoncer les violations des droits internationaux par Israël, qui adopte une réaction complètement disproportionnée. Il faut arrêter le blocus, parce que ces gens-là sont affamés depuis très longtemps. Et si on veut arriver à une paix durable, bien, je pense qu'il faut que l'État d'Israël respecte les droits internationaux. On n'est aucunement pour Hamas, mais les forces sont vraiment disproportionnées en ce moment. On considère qu'il faut autant reconnaître le droit à l'État d'Israël d'exister que de reconnaître le droit à l'autodétermination du peuple palestinien.
Est-ce que vos paroles sont la position officielle du Bloc québécois au Canada?
Oui, et le Bloc québécois a toujours eu les mêmes positions. C'est toujours tenu debout dans le dossier de la Palestine.
La semaine dernière, il y a eu beaucoup de criticisme contre le NDP, qui n'a pas dénoncé les crimes de guerre d'Israël et qui a pris une position dans les opinions des manifestants trop pro-Israël et n'ont pas fait leur job de faire leur position officielle contre le gouvernement. Qu'est-ce que vous avez à dire à la position du NPD?
Ben, moi, je pense que M. Mulcair maintient un silence complice. Il semble y avoir beaucoup de divisions à l'intérieur du NPD. Je pense qu'en ce moment, c'est une bonne démonstration que le Bloc québécois défend la position partagée par une majorité de Québécois de toute langue et de toute origine.
Pourquoi pensez-vous qu'il y a un silence, une complicité tellement extrême au Canada pour être complice avec Israël?
Bien, je ne peux pas l'expliquer, mais c'est même en discontinuité avec la position traditionnelle du Canada. Et je ne sais pas, c'est beaucoup associé, je pense, au gouvernement de M. Harper, aux conservateurs. Mais ce qui est étonnant, c'est que ni les libéraux, ni le NPD n'acceptent de critiquer la position de M. Harper. Et je pense qu'ils doivent le faire. Et en tout cas, nous, on est solidaires du peuple palestinien. Et on veut une négociation pacifique. On est ici avant tout pour manifester pour la paix.
So we just heard Mario Beaulieu during an interview that my co-host Catherine Garvin did with him. The interview was in 2014 during one of the big Palestine solidarity protests that happened in 2014. It was in solidarity with Gaza in particular. If you remember, in 2014, it was when Israel was attacking Gaza. In that clip, he talked. Catherine asked him about his position on the NDP, and at that time, if our listeners remember, there was large criticism against the NDP, even by its own members, that the NDP did not take a strong stand in solidarity with Palestinians. And NDP is seen here in Canada as a sort of the most progressive, more than the Liberal and the Liberal Party. So first I want you to maybe comment on the NDP position at that time and how do you compare, but also to go back to the question I was asking before. At that time, many activists and Palestine solidarity activists kind of saw the presence of the Bloc Québécois sort of opportunist. Many activists told me that they saw it as a kind of an attempt by the Bloc Québécois to kind of attract the base that is usually the NDP base. That was kind of the criticism. So it was kind of a bit opportunist. So what do you say about that? And is it really bad that politicians are opportunists at the end? Isn't it just a testament how strong the Palestine solidarity movement is in Quebec today?
Well, there's no doubt that the pro-Palestine movement is strong in Quebec. And as a matter of fact, it's the strongest anywhere in Canada. I mean, there's growing Palestinian solidarity movements in a number of different cities in Canada, and I can attest to that because I'm a member of the Canadian Boycott Coalition, and I join in on their conference calls, and there's a fairly well established pro solidarity network in Toronto, in Ottawa. In other points in Canada, they're maybe not quite as developed, but they exist in Calgary, and Vancouver is very strong, and other points. But I would still have to say that in Quebec and particularly in Montreal, it is the strongest group of pro Palestinian organizations in Canada, I think, are found in Montreal, in the Montreal area. Now, going back to the question of criticism of Mario Beaulieu as wanting to raffle off the base that would normally support the NDP, I don't really see that as being valid. I think that in terms of attitude, there is a progressive attitude already on his part before even the attack on Gaza, and in the past we had worked with people from the Bloc Québécois, even on demonstration, the huge demonstration that took place when Israel attacked Lebanon. It's back in 2006 with 30,000 people in the street, and Paju had been one of the organizing groups, but the Bloc had participated in it. Although I don't have great empathy for the former leader Gilles Duceppe in terms of the Israeli Palestinian conflict, because he made an attempt to play both sides, and he actually took a trip that was paid for by him to Israel. So I don't. If you were, there were a criticism to be leveled, I would level it at him, not at Mario Beaulieu. And at any rate, should we be thumbing our noses at members of parliament who actually stand up and support the Palestinian cause in a public way? I really don't think so.
Mm.
If you want to level criticism, it should be leveled at the liberals, especially the liberals and the conservatives. As far as his criticism of the NDP, I think it was valid, but I think also that was a reflection of the man who was the leader at the time, and that is Thomas Mulcair, who has always been staunchly pro-Zionist and anti-Palestinian, and this is not something that's conjecture; it's a fact. You know, we had a run-in with him some years back when he had first joined the NDP in Ottawa, and he launched a vicious attack on Libby Davies, who had done terrific work with Palestinian solidarity within the NDP, and she had been to the Middle East, and we denounced him for his attack on Libby Davies. But he turned the thumb screws on the NDP caucus. So within the ranks of the NDP, there were people who were sympathetic to the to Palestinian demands and who were outraged by Israel's attack on Gaza, but couldn't express it for the simple reason that they were muzzled by Mulcair. But Mulcair is not going to be around anymore, and I'm not sad about that, by the way. When we had the Nakba march recently, at the end of the march, it ended in front of Concordia University on the Maisonneuve, and Nikki Ashton, who is an NDP who's running for the leadership along with other MPs from the NDP caucus, was there, and she delivered an excellent speech. I was there and I heard it, and she's courageous. As soon as she delivered that speech in support of Palestinian self-determination, well, you got the Zionist establishment's cries of anti-Semitism, et cetera, from the B'nai B'rith and the Center for Israel and Jewish Affairs, which is to be expected. But when groups of MPs start to stand and say they're not going to be browbeaten anymore by this type of intellectual blackmail on the part of groups like B'nai B'rith and the Center for Israel and Jewish Affairs, then you understand that things are changing. And again, I can tell you for a fact, there are MPs within the ranks of the Liberal Party, within the ranks of the New Democratic Party as well, that understand the legitimacy and support the legitimacy of Palestinian self-determination and an independent Palestinian state. Now, the question remains, we're talking about two states, because the resolution is based on two states, but what two states? What borders? How are you going to form an independent Palestinian state where the Palestinians are shut down in a security matrix where they can't even move? You know, you have to have fixed borders. You have to have freedom of movement. You have to have control of your airspace. Both the West Bank and Gaza are Palestine. You know, there aren't two Palestines. There's one Palestine, and right now Gaza's under blockade. And what the Oslo process gave the Palestinians, the Oslo Accord, is basically the division of the West Bank into three different sectors A, B, and C, where Israel controls about 93% of the land surface. Where the Palestinians are powerless, cannot have no freedom of movement essentially, and live in under an apartheid regime that basically even outstrips the South African apartheid regime. So if we want to talk about two states, you have to understand what an independent Palestinian state would require. It would require the dismantling of a number of Israeli settlements. There are several settlements that are simply too large to be dismantled. They're permanent. So we have to deal with that reality. The fact of the matter is that there are Israeli settlers in the West Bank who are going to remain there. So what do you do with that? A Palestinian state would have to have contiguous territory. Otherwise, it's not a state. So there would have to be an exchange of territory. If we wanted to be logical about it, an independent Palestinian state would have those settlers as a Jewish minority in a Palestinian state, and you would have an Israeli state with a Palestinian minority within it, which it represents 20% of the Israeli population. But you know, let's be realistic. The settlers in the West Bank will never accept that. You know, they'll never accept it, even if it's logical. Emotionally, ideologically, they believe that that is their land, and their entire ideological approach is to simply banish the Palestinians from the remaining land on which they still live, which isn't very much when compared to what lands Palestinians held before 1948 and the Nakba, you know. So, but another reason why I supported this motion, even though it is based on two states, and I'm skeptical about the possibility of two states, and especially of a viable independent Palestinian state. But the fact of the matter is that this motion, if it's debated in Parliament, in the House of Commons, which will not be in this session. It would be debated in next session, probably somewhere in the early spring 2018. But, you know, all of these politicians, like Trudeau and company and all the rest, always pay lip service to two states. Basically, they state two states simply to dismiss the whole question and say, oh, yes, we support two states, behind the smokescreen of two states, the Israelis continue to expand settlements. And they have even just announced that they're going to build a new settlement for the first time in 25 years in the West Bank. And you still have these politicians mouthing two states. Well, if it comes up for debate... and the liberals vote against it, and the conservatives vote against it, what does it mean about their commitment to two states? It means that they're out-and-out hypocrites, that they lie bold-facedly to the entire world. So they say, yes, we support two states, we support an independent Palestinian state, but we won't debate it in Parliament, and we'll vote against it if we debate it. You see? Mm-hmm. So... I like the idea of this motion being debated in Parliament because it will underscore Trudeau's hypocrisy and the hypocrisy of other politicians in Canada who chirp two states all the time but basically are lying through their teeth. That's why I think this motion is important at a political level.
Yes, you mentioned that in the statement that Pajo released, you mentioned that, and I thought it was a very interesting point. Is you kind of put them in the corner and ask them, well, if you support a two-state, show us how do you support it. And then now it seems, I don't know how they're going to vote, but to your point that it's starting showing their hypocrisy, because an article was published by TVA Nouvelle on May 30th called Le Parti Libéral refuse de débattre d'une motion sur l'État palestinien. They seem, according to the article, they seem to already kind of are refusing to debate, like you said, the two states, which is something they always kind of advocate for. So, right.
Well, that's going to open them up to the criticism that they're hypocrites, which I've always known they are. Anyway, I mean, again, you know, coming back to the motion, it's the motion itself states, and this is fact, And I'll repeat that consideration, considering that, in principle, Canadian foreign policy recognizes the right of the Palestinians to self-determination and supports the establishment of a sovereign, independent, viable, democratic, and self-governing Palestinian state in the framework of a comprehensive, just, and lasting peace settlement. This is Canadian foreign policy. So, in other words, like other administrations before them, the Trudeau government, which is so keen on human rights for everyone except the Palestinians, and of course in Yemen, because, you know, the Saudis have a lot of money invested in Canada, so we can sell them tanks and armored cars so they can go and kill civilians in Yemen, you see?
Mm-hmm.
So what we have with the Trudeau government is a prime minister and a minister of foreign affairs who have a very selective notion of human rights. When it comes to the Palestinians, well, we can't debate that. They don't deserve human rights. The Houthis in Yemen, they don't deserve human rights because we have to obey Tel Aviv and Riyadh. That's what it comes down to. It comes down to the fact that Justin Trudeau is an unabashed hypocrite. But I think more and more people are starting to understand that.
Another thing that I want to mention in the article, just because we're a radio show, and so sometimes when the mainstream media covers something and kind of flat out lie, in a sense, in the article, I just want...
Well, in a number of cases, I would call them the fake news, because they are. And on the issue of Syria as well, mm-hmm. You know, and I think it's time we said it outright, fake news.
Well, an example in the article, the same article I mentioned before from TVA Nouvelle, and the end of the article, they said, la création d'un État indépendant pour la Palestine est loin de faire l'unanimité dans la communauté internationale. En 2015, le Canada s'était opposé à ce qu'on hisse le drapeau palestinien à l'ONU, bien que le pays préconise une solution à deux États. What I thought was interesting, this first one, they said that it doesn't do, ça fait, est loin de faire l'unanimité. In the statement of the Bloc Québécois, they mentioned that 136 countries out of 193 members of the UN already recognize Israel. Recognize Palestine. That's
state.
Over right. 70%. It wasn't this statement.
Exactly. So, but again, the article, nevertheless, that you just read to me in French, nevertheless, points to the fact that Canada is the Canadian government is a government of hypocrites. You know. They don't want the Palestinian flag to fly at the UN, but when Trudeau campaigned for leadership, he had no problem with having a big Israeli flag behind him. Mm-hmm. You can find that on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Shaking hands. Big smiling handshakes with Benjamin Netanyahu, who is I don't think will ever be nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize.
They might actually.
tongue in cheek there.
Yeah.
So let me say this. I've said this before. I said it in interviews before. I said it in an interview, and I think it was under the olive tree, if I'm not mistaken. I had said it earlier, the same thing, in an interview with Global Research News from the University of Winnipeg, and that's a couple of years ago. They asked me for my opinion on Trudeau's denunciation of BDS at McGill and other statements he's made, and I said that in my opinion, Justin Trudeau is simply a run-of-the-mill politician whose political parameters don't extend beyond whatever the fashion of the day may happen to be. So in other words, at the point where there's a groundswell of support for the Palestinians here in Canada, and it will come, and to dismiss it could result in electoral losses and political credibility, he will jump on the bandwagon because he is a political opportunist, and he's nothing more than that.
Mm-hmm. And another thing that I wanted to mention, just to end the point, when the article mentioned, kind of insinuated that there's no overwhelming kind of support for Palestine, and they mentioned the flag, although they do mention the hypocrisy a little bit of the Canadian government, but they fail also to mention that the flag, when it was put at the United Nations, the motion to put that flag was passed overwhelmingly. 119 votes, 19 countries voted in favor of having this flag, and Canada was only one out of 8 countries who voted against
it. And they vote along with great powerful nations like Micronesia and other small islands scattered somewhere. What they do is they make sure that they'll put in some of the facts, but not necessarily the relevant facts. The fact of the matter is that Canada was completely isolated on the question of that of the Palestinian flag at the United Nations, and that was not mentioned. But again, let me give you an example. Let me give you a concrete example of in 2014 when Israel was attacking Gaza again. And murdering and killing civilians, Palestinian civilians, in cold blood, essentially. I got a call from Radio Canada. They wanted to interview me live, for an interview in the evening, and they wanted to interview a friend and colleague of mine who's a Palestinian Canadian. I'm not going to mention his name because I wouldn't mention his name without asking his permission to do that. Mm-hmm. But about 2 hours before we were supposed to be interviewed, we got a call saying that something had come up and they couldn't do the interview because of they call it imprévu. You know, something had popped up.
Mm-hmm.
That in the same time period, they called. A member of Independent Jewish Voices, who is French-speaking, and invited her for an interview at 7 o'clock. Didn't even have the courtesy to call her ahead of time. She showed up for the interview, and she was told that the interview was cut at a higher level. It's not the journalists who do that. It's at a higher level within the structure of the of Radio Canada, where those people who are going to offer an opinion that will state unequivocally that Israel is committing crimes against the Palestinians and that it is an apartheid state will not be interviewed. It's not receivable. And I can also tell you that recently I spoke to a professor who will not be named, who was an expert on the situation in Syria and was to be interviewed, and told the researcher who was supposed to organize the interview about his views on what was happening on the ground. And again, he was told that they had forgotten that they had already invited a special guest. this is the way they work. And it's the same thing for TVA, and it's the same thing for CTV, and it's the same thing for the CBC, and it's the same thing for global electronic media. And that's it, whether it's the Gazette, whether it's La Presse, this is what you get. The Palestinian question. And those who support legitimate Palestinian claims cannot be interviewed because the Israel lobby here doesn't want that to happen, and because we are dealing with supine and indolent corporate media. That's the reality of the situation.
I want to end with maybe come back to here in Quebec on a provincial level. I know Quebec Solidaire supported the Bloc Québécois in his action and his kind of this motion that they presented to calling on the Canadian Parliament to recognize Palestine as a state. Do you see maybe some parallels starting to appear here in our own Quebec political kind of climate, aside from Quebec Solidaire, maybe Parti Québécois or something else that might stand up?
To be quite honest, I don't have much faith in the Parti Québécois. I mean, as I've said before, PAJU is in its 17th year of existence. There's been not even one statement from the PQ in support of Palestinian self-determination or Palestinian human rights ever. So if we ever hear anything from Jean-François Lisée or any of the others in there, that is simply opportunism. And I can tell you this, I speak for myself here, because I'm not mandated to speak for what PAJU's executive committee might decide. But as for myself personally, I would not sit down with Mr. Lisée, and I would not share a stage with him, because over time the PQ has always been in Israel's corner, to the complete neglect of the Palestinian question. What I can say about Quebec Solidaire is that from its outset as an organization, as a political party, it has unequivocally supported Palestinian self-determination, Palestinian human rights, and has been at every march, represented at every march, at vigils that we hold. I have the greatest respect in the world for Amir Kadir and Manon Massé. And I can tell you, Manon Massé was on the boat to Gaza that was held back in Greece, but she was on that boat. And Amir Kadir, from the very outset, and this goes back to when we first started our vigil in February of 2001 in front of the Israeli consulate, Amir Kadir would come and participate in the vigil with us. So he is a absolutely straight arrow, an individual of great integrity. I have the greatest respect for Quebec Solidaire. And I would also like to state openly that in every Quebec election that I voted in since the Quebec Solidaire has been formed, I vote Quebec Solidaire, and I invite others to do the same, especially if they support Palestinian human rights.
With us on the phone, Bruce Katz. Bruce is the co-president of PAJU, which is Palestinian and Jewish Unity. And we were talking about a new motion that Le Bloc Québécois presented, a motion that calls on the Canadian Parliament to recognize Palestine as a state. And this motion was mainly an initiative from Mario Beaulieu, who is the former leader of the Bloc Québécois. And it was supported by the current leader of the Bloc Québécois, Martine Ouellet. Thank you very much, Bruce, for talking to us.
My great pleasure. Thank you.
My name is Sausan Kadoura, and you are listening to Under the Olive Tree.